Welcome to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that is not just information, but impartation and activation. This podcast offers supernatural conversations that will encourage and equip you to live the Spirit-empowered life. Fireborn Ministries exists to see Jesus awaken this generation to the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen in to this powerful and encouraging conversation and share this episode of Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. And welcome to another adventure in the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you guys, I have a free PDF available for you dealing with kingdom finance. If you've listened to this podcast, I've recently interviewed some business people. I was recently interviewing Ron Jolson and was inspired to come up with that free downloadable PDF about kingdom finance, a biblical perspective on money, on investing, on saving. But also I've got another PDF available for you on Three Secrets to Dialogue with the Holy Spirit that is available for you. But guys, I'm excited for my very special guest today. I'm bringing Randy Kay to this podcast, who's got this new book out called Heaven Stormed. And perhaps you've listened to our mutual friend, Sean Tabbitt, or you've been watching Randy's ministry for a number of years. He has a supernatural testimony that will bring you hope. So this powerful new book, Heaven Stormed, I can't get enough of it. It gives insights into heaven. But Randy is a CEO and strategic business leader. He knows firsthand through his own near-death experience how God can transform suffering into joy and pain into purpose. His breakthrough research on thriving in life has spanned several decades, uncovering practical ways to overcome trials and attain God's purpose in your life. He and his wife, Renee, make their home in Carlsbad, California. So please help me welcome Randy Kay to Adventures in the Spirit. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today, Jared.
Well, it's an honor. It's a pleasure. I'm excited for this because I've been reading your new book, Heaven Stormed, which is a series about what God did in your life and through your life. And there's some things that I can identify with here, which, you know, I've had some supernatural encounters. Some crazy things have taken place in my life. Saw into the cloud of witnesses. But before that, can you share a little bit of your story?
Absolutely. And I appreciate that you're offering that PDF because my career had been in business. I did head up a biotech company, had been out to Washington, D.C. to launch a possible cure for Alzheimer's. We were on the front cover of Time magazine, all the major networks. When the FDA forced a recall, everything went downhill from there. And so I flew back from interviewing for a position with the largest healthcare company in the world, Johnson & Johnson. And en route back, I arrived having no water, basically going from interview to interview. So I went to bed immediately after arriving into the airport in San Diego. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a pain in my calf leg. And it was something I didn't know if it was attributed to a muscle pull or something to that effect. But anyway, early in the morning, I got up and I went downstairs and got my bike and started riding along the coast of San Diego, the coastline that is. And I was out of breath, and the straight line up the coast was like riding up a hill or a mountain even. I couldn't breathe. It was very strenuous for me. I ended up being able to get back, and then my breathing became more severe, taxing, and I couldn't even go out to the side yard without heaving for breath. So I went to get an anti-inflammatory from the orthopedic surgeon, thinking that perhaps it was just a muscle strain. And then I collapsed to the floor while in the office, and I was rushed to the emergency room. After CAT scans and blood tests, it was discovered that I had six blood clots that were clotting my pulmonary artery, which is the main blood flow to the lungs. And that was, as the doctor said, what should have been a cause, my death up to that point. He said I was a walking dead man. They were going to rush me to a hospital in San Diego to have my chest cracked open to remove the clots. but the decision was by that time I would be dead. So I had contracted while in the emergency room and trauma center what is called MRSA, which is a drug-resistant bacterial strain, which caused clotting throughout my body. In other words, there was a traffic jam throughout my arteries and vessels throughout the body red blood cells. And that they tried drawing blood and they couldn't even do so because my blood had clotted throughout my bloodstream. So I was essentially then without the ability to breathe. I was like a floppy fish out of water, flopping around on the bed, and then my body went still. And I had clinically died. I had flatlined. And this happened for a little over 30 minutes. During which time, I could see my body below as I was being pulled by a light rising. And then I entered into this very ethereal space, which at first I really wasn't able to assimilate. I felt at peace. I was a Christian going into this, but had a crisis of faith before my event. And I could see these warring figures in front of me. And I knew after the fact and when I returned that they were warring over my soul and that there were angels and demons. And I knew at that point to cry out the name of Jesus. And I did, and instantly I was cheek to cheek with a figure. I could feel his whiskers against my cheek. And my first thought was, so this is love. And then I just caved to the floor where I was. I was sobbing profusely. And then he reached down, this figure that I knew instantly as Jesus. And he turned me around and pulled me up so that I was face to face with Jesus, looking into the eyes of love. There are no words to describe, but he leaned over to my right side into my right ear and he whispered these two words. He said, "Trust me." And then his eyes were so effervescent and his entire stature was so effervescent that he tunneled into every dark place within me with the light of Jesus Christ. It was the most incredible effusion of love and light. And that there was something that had instantly transformed within me to know love as a person now and not just as an emotion. And then he proceeded, Jared, to show me a series of life reviews. We went through my life from my earliest childhood and he was redeeming the aspects of my life and showing me that how he had redeemed my life to the point where I could receive him as my Lord and Savior. And I realized that he was showing me that even at the times when I had rejected him, he had not rejected me. And it was the most amazing experience before we walked through heaven, before he showed me heaven, and eventually where I ended up in the throne room of God, which is where I beheld the title of the book, which is I Beheld a Heaven Storm, which was the unfolding essentially of the end times.
Do you believe we are living in the end times? Are we seeing the signs of the times Jesus talked about with wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes? With recent events of social unrest on the streets worldwide, a pandemic, and the shaking taking place in the political realm, we want to answer your questions and calm your fears by giving you hope through our e-course, The Last Days, A Reformation in Eschatology. You can go through the e-course on your time, diving deep into learning how to study apocalyptic and prophetic passages of Scripture. You'll do a study on the mark of the beast and learn about the signs of the times Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and hear what the major views of the end times are and learn what the rapture really is. We will lay a grounded and biblical answer to a number of your questions about the end times. And you'll learn if Bible codes are real, and you'll hear if the Shemitah applies to us today, and make up your own mind if the United States of America is prophesied in the Bible. I want to give you a warning. This e-course, The Last Days, A Reformation in Eschatology, may shatter your worldview and what you have been traditionally taught about the end times. Go to www.charismacourses.com to purchase The Last Days, A Reformation in Eschatology with Jared Lasky e-course today.
Yeah, I loved your description of the throne room. Can you describe some of what Jesus showed you there?
Yes, sure. Well, he told me that I would be seeing the storm, his words. We know from Nahum 1:3, you know, that God's presence was through the whirlwind and the storm. So there's references in the Bible for the storm, but I didn't realize what that was until I'd seen all of the beauty of heaven. And then we journeyed into the throne room where he said I would behold the Father, Father God. And the Father looked in appearance quite strikingly different than Jesus. Jesus was more familiar looking. The Holy Spirit was with me the entire time. He was the one closest to me as a person. But Jesus was one who looked very much like you or me in terms of appearance, very Middle Eastern looking. But God the Father on the throne was gargantuan. I describe it as more like a 4 or 5 or even a 10-story building where he was upon the throne. And the throne was this huge cathedral-looking place, these crystalline, emerald-looking, ruby, blue, sapphire around the throne stones. And he was there with white flowing hair, unlike the more typical picture we would have of Jesus, which was my experience. And so he was there declaring answers to prayers, and I could literally see the prayers from earth being ushered forth into the throne room, knowing that God answered every one of them. They were even identifiable with my spiritual eyes as like sparkles of that were emanating from earth to the throne, and God was declaring answers to each of those prayers. And I was seeing a rainbow against the backdrop, and I was seeing these different types of angels that are described in the Bible, the cherubim and the archangels, and all of these different types of angels around the throne that were shouting out praises unto the Lord. If you can, and one angel declared out praises that were the sound of 10 humans. So if you can take that one angel times 10 times thousands of angels around the throne now declaring praises to God. And I always had Jesus by my side, but then there was a change, and Jesus said, I'm going to leave you now. And the Holy Spirit was with me the entire time as a person, not just a presence. And then the two of them, Jesus and the Father, were at the throne together. They were one. And I knew implicitly that the three, the triune God, was together as well. But I could see this manifestation, if you will, on the throne as God was declaring these advents. And he was essentially declaring what would proceed forth through the storm. It was all of this time I could hear the praises that were being sung forth by the angels and by those in heaven. I could see the glory of God, which is just effervescent and just the presence and the flowers blooming and trees blooming before my eyes. Everything was living, nothing was dying. And however, when God declared it is finished and the storm proceeded, there was utter silence. All of heaven went silent. And I could hear a rolling dirge, a kind of a mourning sound through heaven. And I knew it was for the lost, those who did not know him, those who had rejected Jesus Christ. And it was that constant mourning that was for the lost that was the only sound I heard through the silence of this. And the storm was that which was rolling forth from the throne of God. And I was seeing the fire of God around the throne. I was seeing, Moses and the Exodus that was, experience with the Jewish people, the pillar of fire, of course, the burning bush before Moses. So I was seeing literally that fire, which was the presence of God. And there were those figures who were walking through the fire, but they weren't getting burned. And this fire was so scorching, and the intensity of the brilliant fire and the glory coming from God the Father was so intense that it was like something that would be akin to 1,000 or 10,000 suns. And I knew with my physical eyes I could not perceive this, but I was in my spirit body, so I could see it with my spiritual eyes. And I turned to the Holy Spirit, and I said, why is it that this fire that is around the throne, these figures are walking through the fire and not burning because of the intensity of that fire? And the Holy Spirit said, is because they have my spirit within them, which allows them to go through the fire and not be burned. But those who would not be have the Holy Spirit within them, who would be touched by the fire of God that was being poured forth from the throne, would be burned. And indeed, I had seen this fire as the glory of God initially, and I was seeing people that were just shouting praises on earth, and that was the glory of God being poured forth on earth as the storm began. And then Jesus came back down, and he cupped his hands over my eyes, and then I saw the second phase, the next phase of the storm, which were all kinds of atrocities, people just crying out, why did you abandon me, and sores and sickness. But with the glory of God that I saw preceding this, I was seeing people walking out of their hospital beds, people walking out of the morgue. I was seeing people being healed of all kinds of maladies. I was seeing limbs growing out, and all of these miracles that I was seeing while the glory was being poured out from the throne. But when Jesus held his hand over my eyes and I was seeing what we commonly know as the tribulation, I was seeing the converse of this. I was seeing all of these things. And I was seeing these shields that were being released in heaven. And when these shields were being released, each one subsequently, and I believe these were the seven judgments we know, the seven horsemen, the bowls that basically that John saw from my perspective from the top down. I saw them as shields, and God's was removing his protection, and the penalty of sins, the cumulative effect of those was being released because of the denial of Jesus Christ. And I was seeing these things, and I said to Jesus, as I was seeing these atrocities, as I was seeing the sickness, and I was seeing the plagues, and I was seeing the inhumanity of people warring against one another. And I was so struck by this that it almost stole the joy that I had experienced, but it did not quite. But I did ask Jesus to remove his hand from my eyes so that I could have peace again in heaven. And he did. And the peace returned to me. And subsequently, what I saw from the storm was the final battle, as we know, the battle of the apocalypse. And I could see Jesus then mounting this white horse with legions of angels also mounting their horses. And I could see the tassels on the horse that Jesus had mounted were red. They'd been dipped in blood. And before this had happened, Jesus had literally taken the book of life from the throne that I saw, and he offered it to me. And I said to Jesus, I can't possibly hold the book of life. I'm unworthy. And then the Holy Spirit just reached in his hands so that I could see for the first time the hands of the Holy Spirit reaching into my more translucent appearing hands, so that I was, through him reaching into my hands, I was able to hold the book of life. And I realized God as a word, not just as the pages of the Bible, but actually the presence of God in the Word, as we know from John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. The Word became Jesus. But the Word there in heaven during the storm was the presence of God, and he was declaring forth that it is finished and let it begin. And that's when the release of the storm and the advents of what we know to be the end times occurred. And it led all the way through to a place where I found myself finally through all of these experiences. It led me to a place of a feast, and Jesus was there. And I was on a place at a place that seemed like earth, a paradise. And there was a traversing of angels from heaven to earth. And I was in this place where this feast was like nothing I had ever seen or partaken of it on earth. And then I was there and I saw the temple, which was on earth. And I saw Jesus again in a different form, and I saw the Father God, who took on more of a grander form, but more personal to me in this place. And I realized later that I had been taken to the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah, wow, powerful. Guys, I'm talking to Randy Kay about Heaven Stormed and his near-death experience. He was clinically dead. And he had this encounter in heaven. So he's got a series of books. The latest one is called Heaven Stormed. And there are parts of it. Man, one thing I appreciate about it is that it always goes back to Jesus. Even when we read the book of Revelation, there's bad things happening, and then it goes back to Jesus. In fact, if we map out heaven, Jesus is in the center of it all. Jesus is the center of it all. It all revolves around him. And there are some things as I'm reading this book, you know, last year, many of you know, I almost died. And during the encounter, again, it's a work-related thing. So I can't share too much about that because now it's in the hands of legal people, courts, you name it. But I remember my late brother was there. My grandma, who passed away a couple years ago on Easter Sunday, she was there. A friend of mine, Pastor Ken Gary, who'd passed away just last year, he was there. And Jesus was there too. But his hand wasn't reaching out to me. But he was there. And a Bible verse was going through my head that my race wasn't finished yet. So I was running, so I can share that. And the Bible verse, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. It was going through my head, but Jesus kept saying, your race isn't finished. And then I had this event, but I saw into the cloud of witnesses. This book, Heaven Stormed, Randy went to heaven. So it always goes back to Jesus. And that's one thing, Randy, that I really value and appreciate about this. You're going through your life sequences, seeing things in the past, traumatizing events, or even how Jesus protected you in a car accident. But what do you say to people who question near-death experiences, or even how sometimes we remember things, but then we progressively get more revelation about that encounter?
Well, my friend Sean Tabbitt and I began a series of broadcasts about near-death experiences. And my friend John Burke, who studied near-death experiences for over 30 years, wrote a book called Imagine Heaven. So now we have just a plethora of these experiences, as you accounted for, Jared, just even in your own life. They're more common than we would otherwise perhaps think. There was a Pew study or one of the research firms that showed one and every 2,500 people at least have had these type of experiences. So to your question, Jared, I think the near-death experience is one that first is more common today in experiences because of medical intervention. Typically, in my experience, I would have never been revived, certainly. But also, as with me and some other cases, we clinically died. Our heart stopped, which is the definition of clinical death. And subsequently, the brain stopped. So I've been in the healthcare field. You know, I've led clinical teams in cardiovascular and neurology. So we know from studies that the brain ceases a matter of seconds after the heart stops, the blood flow no longer goes. So there's no way really to imagine for somebody who's clinically died and to imagine any of these fantastical things. And I wasn't inclined to. And none of us, I think, want to be necessarily known for these experiences because there's a cost to sharing them. There's doubt. There's a degree of ridicule and things of that nature. For those of us who maybe might seek some other form of esteem, this is probably not the one that we would desire because of the lack of belief in these stories, generally speaking. But they're validated both by clinical records, as I have my own, and also they're validated by the fact that the brain can't imagine these things. So the fantastical things that we hear are those things that are verified. I saw the people that were in the room. I saw, you know, things that I couldn't have seen with my own physical eyes or through my imagination as I was seeing what was happening as I was rising. What God is doing is he is revealing heaven to us for a reason. He's revealing heaven to us to draw people to him, first and foremost, to your point, Jared, that heaven is about Jesus. Jesus is our home. Heaven is our home. But Jesus, the reason heaven is our home is because Jesus is there. And God is the author of heaven. He created heaven. And so he's drawing people through these stories in a way that people are being saved through these stories like no other form of evangelism that people have seen. You know, I've received even thousands upon thousands and tens of thousands of communications from people who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they see the reality of heaven. They see that Jesus is real. And they know the love of God because once one really truly knows how much God loves us, how can someone deny that love? We know he went to the cross because he loved us so much so that whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. We know that. But to really know, to understand him in a way that those like you, Jared, and others have beheld this love of God and apart from the fleshly mind, the reasoning mind, but know him having been released of this body to experience the fullness of God in a way that is truly spectacular and to be able to convey that in a way that, you know, is true. I think that's what makes NDE experiences, if they are Christ honoring, to be so effective. Now, if they're Christ dishonoring, you know, and they speak of things like reincarnation and other things, obviously that's not honoring God. That's honoring the experience. And we know that the enemy can even deceive, use those things that are of God, that are apart from God. And there have been some testimonies of experiences that are counter to the Bible and not honoring to God, but honoring of people and reincarnation. But we've also heard of experiences of hell, you know, from Christians who came back and became believers because of hell. So I think I'll leave it with this, I guess. And that is, I did not believe in near-death experiences before I had my own. And I wasn't prone to fantastical thinking. I was scientifically based. I led clinical teams, fact-based. I just didn't believe in these events. And then I had my own. And so here we are, you know, talking about what is our ultimate destination.
Amen. Our ultimate destination, guys. Jesus is real. Guys, I would love to hear more about heaven, about what Randy encountered. I'd love for you guys to hear this, but I just got to say, read it. Okay. Seeing the New Jerusalem, going through his life reviews, you know, the lessons that he learned and Jesus being there always. Randy, can you pray for those watching or listening to this?
Would be my pleasure. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for giving us life, true life. Lord, I ask for everyone listening or watching this, that there would be a touch of your spirit in such a profound way, that there would be a revelation of your truth, a revelation of your presence, a revelation of the love, consummate love, your personhood, who is love. I ask, Lord, that every person who is hurting today, right now, be healed by your loving nature. And Lord God, that you would save those who would be thinking right now, I don't really know if I'm saved. That Lord God, you would reach into their heart and they would be drawn to confess you as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that they could be made born anew, knowing that they are destined for heaven. I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that every soul that is listening or hearing this would now know your presence and thereby know love, because you are not only the author of love, you are love consummate. You are the person of love. And we thank you and praise you that you have given us not only the hope of salvation, but the promise of salvation for those who are born anew through Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And if you're listening to this and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, give your life, give your heart to him. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and begin a relationship with him. This has been a powerful time with Randy Kay talking about his book, Heaven Stormed. And I've got an affiliate link, an Amazon link in the podcast description where you can purchase your own copy of Heaven Stormed. But also, Randy, what is the best way for people to get a hold of you for more information?
Well, I can be found at randyk.org. And you can find out just about anything. We have a Heaven Encounters conference in San Diego, California, September 12th through the 14th, 2024. That's where people can find out more. And I'm just so honored to be with you today.
Well, the honor was all mine. Guys, I guess you're invited to the Heavenly Encounter. Go to randyk.org for more information and to sign up and to reach out to Randy. And as always, guys, subscribe and share this episode of Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky. Randy, thank you so much for being my special guest.
It's been my pleasure, sir, and I thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Adventures in the Spirit with Jared Lasky, a podcast that activates you to live the supernatural life. Subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and share it with your friends. Leave a 5-star rate and review, which helps us reach more people with the love and power of the Holy Spirit, and partner with us at fireborneministries.com. And may you live your best spirit-empowered life and have your own adventures in the Holy Spirit.